From cotton gins and grain elevators to factories and skyscrapers and grasslands to forests, there's only one host and one show covering it all. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas. Don't forget, the show's now podcast at prattontexas.com, so you can listen to it just as a stream there as a podcast, or even download the file, shift it to whenever you want to listen to the show, whenever your commute is. In the stack for today's Pratt on Texas, our Lone Star story of the day is one you probably won't hear elsewhere. How Governor Greg Abbott plays us on red meat issues, an example of terrible hypocrisy right out of our Texas military forces. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, providing the best service in DOT business and personal and drug and alcohol testing since 1995, AlliedCompliance.com. Governor Abbott says he'll call a special session to deal with election integrity bill, maybe others, separate from the expected redistricting section in the fall, or session in the fall. We'll get to that. P. Bush made his big announcement in Austin last night that he will run for Texas Attorney General in the next primary. The stalking of Paxton has begun. Also, there are 8 constitutional amendments we'll vote on. I'll give you the summaries on those today. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan. Today in Texas history, well, this is the day of the Horse Marine. That's right, it was in this day in our revolution, 3rd of June, 1836, a mounted, meaning for those of you in Lockney, it means they rode horses. A mounted ranger company in the service of the Texas Revolutionary Army captured a Mexican ship. Now, how did they do that? Well, they were under the command of Major Isaac Watts Burton. They'd been dispatched by General Thomas Rusk to watch a stretch of the Gulf Coast south of San Antonio Bay. When they heard of a suspicious vessel in Capano Bay, I doubt the vessel itself was suspicious. I don't think a vessel can have any thoughts. The Rangers hid on the shore and sent up distress signals. The ship responded by first hoisting American and Texan signals, which were ignored. Only when the ship raised Mexican signals did the Rangers respond. Thus tricked into thinking the supposedly distressed soldiers were Mexican, the captain came ashore and was captured with him as a hostage. 16 Rangers rowed out, boarded the Watchman, and seized its cargo of provisions for the Mexican army. Burton and his men employed this decoying tactic twice more on June 17th when they captured the Mexican ships Comanche and Fanny Butler. For these unlikely captures at sea, the mounted Rangers in the Texas Army were dubbed Horse Marines. Isn't that a great story? That's one of those great pride in Texas things. By the way, in this day in 1965, Ed White, a native of San Antonio, became the first American to walk in space, as they call it, a spacewalk. All right, my friends. So, a little Texas history for you today. Big story today, I guess. It's really not that much news, but Abbott says he'll call 2 special sessions. I think that's pretty much what everybody thought I've already explained this. Because his veto threat over legislative pay and being able to pay their staff and everything else and their district office rents and everything else doesn't really have any effect until next fiscal year, which starts in September. The end of the state fiscal year is August 31st. He can veto that all day long. It's not going to do a bit of good until then. And by the time we get to the fall, we're expected to have the special session on redistricting as the census has been delayed in getting us data. And that's going to be a big issue in and of itself. He hasn't said when he'll call these, but look, he needs to not enact this threatened veto because it gets all his own party members too, and all their staffs can't get paid. So he needs to maneuver this somehow so that he has the special session to work on the voter bill that the Democrats killed by walking out earlier than when we get into the redistricting issue. And you really don't need the two things going on at once, either in Austin or back to back. Who knows? I mean, he could still do it that way, but if you wait, that's supposed to be towards the end of September, maybe 1st of October, the redistricting. See, you'd already be a month into it. Well, the Republicans wouldn't be able to pay their staff to work on redistricting. See, you get it. There's not really a lot of news in this, but he wouldn't give a timetable, but he says he'll do 2. He had an interview with the USA Today newspaper network and said he's going to make good on his promise to veto the section of newly passed state budget that funds legislative branch of government. That means lawmakers would have to restore that spending during a special session before the two-year budget kicks in before September 1st. Okay, so there you have it. Even if it's not a threat and he vetoes the and he does go through with the veto, again, it's perfunctory. I mean, you turn right around, he's got to do that before September 1st. So this idea that it's big news that there are going to be two special sessions is a little bit silly, given that all that would have to be done before we're ready with census data to do the special session for redistricting. That in a story by John Moritz at the Corpus Christi Caller-Times, which also points out State Rep. Dustin Burroughs, Lubbock Republican, who chairs the agenda-setting House Calendars Committee, applauded the governor's announcement that he'll call lawmakers back to work. "I'm ready to answer the governor's call and get this unfinished business done," Burroughs said in a tweet. Too bad he and his leadership team weren't ready to get it done when they were already down there, so we don't have to pay extra because it does cost us more. It's all right with me, though. I like later in the story, even with Abbott's budget veto threat, State Rep. Chris Turner of Grand Prairie, he's a big liberal Democrat who heads the House Democratic Caucus, said his party plans to continue to resist any new restrictions on voting. Again, what new restrictions on voting? You know, I thought there's a big piece out in the Hearst Papers, the Houston Chronicle by Benjamin Wermund and Taylor Goldstein. Texas Democrats call on Congress to help fight voting restrictions. They're pushing for this federal bill that is a takeover of what is constitutionally states' duties anyway. And there's a lot of quotes in there that just shows you how extremely radical the Democrats are. They don't even care about their own states. It's just about power. And I just, what is this? And Biden's out there saying the same stuff, you know, like calling all these voting restrictions some kind of horrible thing, you know, Jim Crow, which of course is extraordinarily insulting to those who had to live under Jim Crow and had to fight that gross injustice perpetrated on them by Joe Biden's party and Kamala Harris's party, the Democratic Party. I liked what Byron York wrote in the Washington Examiner. The headline in Texas, Democrats thwart will of the majority. Okay, fine. He talks about this big fight and how Biden's calling it Jim Crow on steroids and stuff. But here's some key paragraphs later in the piece. Now there's a new standoff in Texas. And one last thing, what is it all about? The Republican bill would, among other things, outlaw 24-hour voting and drive-through voting in Texas. Are those long-lived election traditions in Texas that Republicans are suddenly trying to kill? Well, yeah, if you listen to Democrats. But not at all, York writes. They were enacted by one county, Harris County, home of Houston, last year in response to the COVID pandemic. Republicans reasonably believed that, one, the policies would be impractical statewide. Well, first of all, the law doesn't allow for them. They just did them anyway. So we're making the law prescriptive. But anyway. And two, election procedures set by the legislature should be consistent throughout the state. That's right. No one area's voters should have an advantage over another area's voters. And then York wrote, and now with Democrats protesting and fleeing the House, Republicans ask, is anyone really saying this is somehow the new Jim Crow? Seriously? It'll take a while, but just as in Georgia, Republicans will pass the new law, and just as in Georgia, many people in Texas and around the country will wonder what the screaming was about. Precisely. Absolutely right, Byron York at the Washington Examiner. Now, the governor's playing hardball with them on the veto thing and all that, and I just want to remind you, the biggest complaint about Abbott since the day he became governor from an always off the record, but told to me by far more than a dozen over many several sessions now, is that Abbott doesn't lead during the legislature. He wouldn't have to be doing this most likely if he'd been cracking the whip behind the scene with the legislature. Okay, fine. We like the veto threat. We like all that red meat. But, you know, is Abbott really honest about all this stuff, or does he play for the popularity? We'll talk about that in a moment. We've got an example.
Stay in the saddle. Pratt on Texas will be right back.
Small business owners are theft, shrinkage, and accident costs a threat. Allied Compliance Services can help by implementing and maintaining a legal, easy-to-use drug screening program. Allied Compliance is turnkey with full program and compliance management and is affordable, even for a mom-and-pop business with only a couple of employees. Call Allied Compliance Services at 800-411-6906, 800-411-6906, 800-411-6906, or browse to alliedcompliance.com. I did have fun going to the dentist in Costa Rica a few years ago. On the serious side, my best quote at home for only a few things was more than double what our entire trip cost, including airfare, hotels, dining, everything. I had the emergency items done and ended up having a mouthful of old fillings redone too. Then Isabel did the same. All of it cost us less than half of local quotes for just the crowns I needed. Learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and dental care by clicking the banner at PrattonTexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
From the statehouse to the courthouse, they know Pratt's watching. Here he comes with more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Maybe they all do it, say one thing, do another. I don't know. But Governor Abbott, ever since he got involved in Texas politics, has been a master of playing the red meat to conservatives in the media. But insiders know that often he wasn't really working hard for the issues he talked about, or that there's absolute hypocrisy. I'll give you an example that's already been discussed on the show and in several media papers, including a couple of stories today, even though it's weeks old, that while he was out doing the big talk about Facebook and Google and all them, and we got to pass bills to stop them from censoring stuff, he and his office were working with Facebook to hand them tax dollars for a big data center in Texas. At the same time that he's telling the world on TV that they're, you know, a no good bunch of you-know-whats. So, you know, fine, maybe it's the norm. Shouldn't be, but maybe it is the norm. Life is what it is. This is a story you probably won't see repeated very anywhere. I don't know. It's from a group that's certainly not an anti-Abbott group by any means, the Texan.news, which is owned by a former state senator, and it's a very good and becoming much better news outlet in the state. Texas State Guard conducts training to address purported, quote, extremism, end quote, among its members. Let me give you part of this story by Kim Roberts at the Texan.news. On 22 May at Camp Mabry, the Texas State Guard conducted a training session to, quote, address extremism in the force, end quote. The training, led by Major General Robert Bodish Sr., included a section reminding service members of their duty under their oath and also explaining prohibited behaviors. It was almost verbatim to sections of the Department of Defense training. However, the Texas State Guard falls under the Texas Military Department and is a state agency under the leadership of Governor Greg Abbott and the Adjutant General, Major General Tracy Norris, who is appointed by Governor Abbott. Ironically, Abbott criticized the federal government for, quote, vetting, end quote, Texas National Guard troops, whom he deployed to the U.S. Capitol after the January 6th riot. Quote, this is the most offensive thing I've ever heard, end quote, Abbott said in a tweet on January 18th. It's the same stuff, folks. It's the exact same stuff coming out of the Biden administration and the Department of Defense. And he got on TV for that. He got a lot of headlines for that. The story says, however, now that the state forces under Abbott's purview, this isn't the National Guard, this is the Texas State Guard. Texas maintains its own military department under the control of the governor. The state forces under his purview are conducting training that encourages members to report others for extremist behaviors, you know, as defined by these leftists. Abbott's office did not reply. That's right. They keep mum on stuff like this. I don't bother with guests and stuff. You know, then you look, most of the shows that do all, lots of these guests that are opinion, most, not always, but it's all about access. That's how they think that's the important thing, to have the, what it's called in media, the big get. The big get, the big guest. And then all this, to keep them, you can't criticize. You got to always use kid gloves with them, you know, or you're going to lose the big get. And that's why you don't get a lot of good reporting by media people who want to be on the air, TV, or wherever with the star, the political star. Anyway, back to this. Abbott's office did not reply to the Texans' inquiries about his awareness of the training. Yeah, the few times I've ever bothered to ask him about something that was a hard question, it was stone-cold silence, too, and that goes back to his attorney general days. According to the Texas Military Department, Abbott's office referred the inquiry to them. Well, The inquiry's not about the Texas Military Department. It's about you, Governor Abbott, and the hypocrisy of going out and getting the national red meat headlines. Oh, this is the most offensive thing I've ever heard of. When, you know, remember Biden's DOD going to vet the Texas National Guard troops that were deployed to the Capitol, make sure none of them were, you know, extremists, meaning, you know, maybe avid Trump supporters, who knows. But let's get into this stuff. It's the same stuff the DOD is doing, and they're doing it in the Texas Military Department, which reports to the governor, not the president. One example they write in the story, or she writes, Kim Roberts writes, of extremism given during the training was of an airman who had social media posts that included, quote, hate speech toward members of the alphabet community, you know, aka LGBTQ community, and who claimed, quote, his way of life was being threatened by the homosexual agenda. Now, remember, any disagreement or disapproval of homosexual behavior, beliefs, or even their political agenda is considered hate speech by the left. The trainers added that the military would be actively looking at social media posts of its members for examples of extremism. This is under the governor's department, folks, and he wouldn't talk to the press about it. Andy Hopper, who's been a Texas State Guardsman since 2014, is concerned about the precedent set by the training, and he should be, story writes. First, the standard of extremism seems to him to be based on beliefs and not actions, and that's exactly right. They go into some detail here on that. Second, he believes the subject matter for what makes one an, quote, extremist is too sweeping. Of course it is. It's to round up and purge conservatives, Christian conservatives, who speak out about what they believe. So he says it's too sweeping. For example, Sergeant First Class Young of the 6th Brigade, who conducted part of the training, confirmed that the National Rifle Association, the NRA, is on the Department of Defense list of extremist organizations. According to the NRA, the group has over 400,000 members in Texas. I'll tell you something else. There are a hell of a lot of former top generals and people who've been on the NRA board and other officers. When asked for a master list of extremist organizations during the training session, those leading the training said they didn't know of such a list. Right, you don't want to get caught putting it out there, but it's there. Furthermore, Young suggested rhetorically in the training that guardsmen might want to remove bumper stickers about Texas secession from their cars. But as Hopper pointed out, this guardsman, that Steve Toth, representative from the Woodland State Rep Toth, is a major in the Texas State Guard and co-authored the bill, HB 1359, the Texas Independence Referendum, the Texit Bill, to let us have a vote. Lieutenant Colonel Allen West, chairman of the Republican Party of Texas, is also in the Texas State Guard, and he stated on record, Texans should have the right to vote on independence. These aren't fringe beliefs, Hopper told the Texan. Well, it's not a fringe belief, certainly, to believe that people ought to have the right to express their opinion on something. But I guess it is in the military, including under Abbott's military. The subjectivity of what makes one an extremist is Hopper's third concern. Right. At one point in the training, the leadership admitted to the subjectivity. He pointed out that the current Texas Military Department policy, currently, is that transgender person cannot serve. Quote, if that changes in a few years, will that then be considered an extremist position? He asked that at the training. What did they say? No idea, sir. We'll have to wait and see. So where do you stand? Your career's destroyed because 4 years later, 2 years later, the leftists take full control and make that something you can't believe in. Let me go back to this. It was Abbott who criticized the federal government, you know, more red meat dangling, when Texas National Guard troops are going to be vetted by the feds after the Capitol riot. This is one of the most offensive things I've ever heard, Abbott said in a tweet. But as they write in the Texan, the state forces under his purview are conducting that training, that same training. And it's subjective. There's no clear cut. It even has stuff in there about the homosexual agenda that makes it pretty clear that, because they claim everything's hate speech. If you simply disagree or object to the behavior, it's hate speech. So our guardsmen are now in violation, can lose their career or their ability to serve in the Guard? And what about this? I think Hopper, this guardsman, is exactly right. The standard of extremism in their training seems to be based on your beliefs, not something you have done or will do. Thought this was America. So I just want to point out, You got the Facebook affair where he's all over the Fox News going after him, but he's working privately behind the scenes in the governor's office to give him, you know, big taxpayer breaks and stuff to build a data center here. Okay, but which is it, Governor? You go out on all the red meat social issues and you're Mr. Leader and you try to get all the FaceTime you can in the media, but then we find out in our own Texas State Guard that you're the commander-in-chief of. The same stuff, the exact same stuff you objected to is going on there under your purview. And you wouldn't talk to the press about it? Typical. Back in a moment.
It's time for Pratt to breathe. Pratt on Texas returns in a moment.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, health, dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
We're back with more Pratt on Texas. Join the Pratt on Texas Listener Club at prattontexas.com. Just like the show, it's free. Now, here's Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Big story in the state press today that I told you yesterday was coming. George P. Bush, the land commissioner in Texas, you know, the son of Jeb, is going to run against, he announced last night what he's going to run for, re-election or something else. And of course, he announced what we pretty well already knew, that he's going to challenge Ken Paxton for the attorney general slot in the Republican primary coming up on the next primary cycle. Now, a lot of hosts will spend a lot of time talking about this today. There's really not much to say about it. I mean, he's got a line that he got everybody in the press to use. It's the big campaign line. And we need an attorney general that it should be who he doesn't even his grammar's even wrong. That's focused on the job instead of trying to stay out of jail. Well, I don't know about that, P. Bush. You want to talk about trying to stay out of jail? Huh. And he claimed that Paxton hadn't delivered for Texans. He said he's good at headlines, but in terms of actual results, that's where he's been lacking. Bush said it's harder to actually win, to see a case all the way through to its final result and actually succeed. He's talking about fighting the Biden administration policies like we had to do when Obama was president. The problem with that is Biden just took over. Court cases take a long time. And one of the earliest cases filed over the border stuff, Paxton's already won against the Biden administration, saying they have to follow the law there. It's just ridiculous. So we'll see. There's a lot. Oh, I like this. He said of Paxton being in office 20 years, he's expecting plenty of blows from the career politician. Excuse me. All of Paxton's service until he became attorney general was as a citizen legislator, meaning a state senator, where he was working in private business all the time. He wasn't on the state, the big payroll. George P. Bush, you're the one who's been on the full salary job ever since you got elected to office, came back to Texas and got elected. Let's just be straight with that. So, you know, I don't know. I find it interesting that Bush said his experience running the land office prepared him for this. His experience running the land office has been one debacle after another. But the problem you're going to have, folks, is what I've explained about P. Bush all along. I mean, his scandal over suppressing an internal audit, I mean, it's bad enough that the Alamo stuff has been so mismanaged from the beginning by his office that it became the giant issue that it did. And remember, he's a guy that said the way we present the Alamo is divisive. I mean, he's a liberal on this stuff. What's interesting is that what I told you many times before, that's what you need to remember. The press knows it's still a Republican state. It's why Strauss, when he was speaker, got all the glowing support of the press, because they're going to pick the least damaging to their side. They're liberals. P. Bush is far more lefty. His history is. And so they didn't seize big stories and amplify them. Oh, yes, his big scandal over suppressing the audit was in some mainstream press, but it only got the report here, the report there to say, we did it, and that's it. No repetition, not a string of editorials about it. And the reason you have to ask why, with normally a statewide Republican official, this would be called massive scandals, and they are there for P. Bush. It goes all the way into the hurricane recovery, where he had gotten rid of all these experienced people running those programs to provide jobs for out-of-work, you know, staffers, Bush staffers out of D.C. These would all be big scandals. The difference is he's the okay kind of Republican to the liberals and the press. He's not a stalwart, full-throated, red meat, true red meat conservative like Paxton or anybody else or, you know, the people that were running against him or challenging him. So there you go. So the stalking of Paxton has begun. And if you don't remember what that refers to, a guy talking about how great he is, his history as general land commissioner has been pretty bad. Folks, when he was a university student, this guy was engaged, P. Bush, in some of this creepy, creepy behavior. TheSmokingGun.com's republished all of that stuff. I mean, serious stuff. You know, trying to climb in a girlfriend he hadn't been a girlfriend of for a year and a half, trying to climb in her window at night like a rapist would do. I don't know that was his intent. Who knows? Police interdicted him and everything. You don't know this about P. Bush? Well, it's out there. It's been out there. This is my point. Well, even when he ran the first time, the state press goes easy. It's the Bush family. These are the ones we like. These are the ones who, you know, want open borders and don't really push a conservative agenda hard. Now, do they like them better than a Democrat? No. They just know the lay of the land. So, you know, there's plenty of time, and we'll talk more about P. Bush's run when the time comes. But I want you to remember I say the stalking of Paxton has begun because this is serious stuff. It's not the kind of thing I'm sure many of you have ever had an encounter with the police and another family over. And this is, again, they don't want to bring it up. But I'll find it all. I'll go back and find all the stories on the true whistleblowers in his department. You know, Paxton, he's scandal-plagued these whistleblowers. Well, they're not whistleblowers. And that appeal information, we heard that yesterday. This guy had members of his own staff have to leak an audit that was terribly disfavorable to the department and his managing of the Alamo funds and separate these little boards they set up. They had to leak it to the press because he had made staff suppress it until from way back in the fall. He wanted it suppressed until after the Republican primary in the spring when he was on the ballot. You don't hear much about that now, but I bet maybe you will. You probably won't in the Dallas Morning News very much. They hate Ken Paxton. They've hated him since he was elected senator in Collin County. They absolutely loathe the man. But some of the other press has been willing to cover this stuff a little bit better. So that was a big political story that went on last night and is in today's press across the Lone Star State. Now, switching gears, did you know that out of the legislature there are joint resolutions constitutional amendments that made it. The governor can't veto these. They, once passed, they go Secretary of State, and then they'll be on the November 2nd ballot this fall. And here are the amendments just in kind of plain words. Should families be able to designate an essential caregiver who would have continued access to loved ones in nursing homes and long-term care? Of course, this issue came up during the ban on visitors during this ridiculous lockdown that the governor put us in. Should state, cities, and counties and other local governments be prohibited from limiting or halting religious services? Okay, that's another one that'll be on the ballot. Should a property tax exemption be given to the spouse of a soldier killed in the line of duty? We give it for the severely injured in people now, and it's a constitutional effort to expand that to the surviving spouse of someone killed in the line of duty. Should eligibility requirements be changed to bar service as a judge in Texas for those who ever had their law license suspended or revoked? I wonder about that because sometimes the state bar itself can be a political body and suspension doesn't mean you were guilty of anything. But anyway, the amendment also would require district judges to be a practicing lawyer for 8 years. Right now, the law is only 4.
Should counties be allowed to finance transportation or infrastructure improvements in blighted or unproductive areas by issuing bonds? Should school property taxes continue to be reduced for those 55 and older upon the death of a spouse with a disability? Should the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association and the Women's Professional Rodeo Association join other charities already allowed to other professional sports teams to raise money via raffles? Should the State Commission on Judicial Conduct, which investigates complaints against judges at all levels, oversee the conduct of judicial candidates as well? Those are the big amendments that will be on there. And I'm not actually, most of the time, these are all okay. I'm not sure I like a couple of these or parts of a couple of these. But, you know, they had time for that, for the Cowboys, the rodeo people. They had time to get those bills done, but not the ones that really affect you or the man on taxpayer-funded lobbying. More of how it works in Austin. We're going to get into some more from the legislature in a moment. Stay with us.
Pratt's back in a moment after we hear from those who pay the bills.
If providing health insurance for yourself or your employees is costing more than you can afford, listen closely to this message.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
And with the price almost reaching the point of unaffordability, employers are looking for solutions. And my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution. We enrolled a local company, and we were able to save that employer one-third of his budget, which was equal to a little over $100,000 that he was paying prior to working with my agency.
Life Health Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
Concealed carry isn't just a statement. It's a lifestyle. Pratt on Texas continues.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. It's interesting in the press, you see a lot of these headlines. This is from the Statesman, Austin American Statesman. From abortions to guns, here's how the GOP moved Texas further right. And you got Democrats in here. This session was defined by extremism, by needless legislation that pandered to the far right of the Republican Party. That from Chris Turner, Grand Prairie Democrat, chair of the House Democrat Caucus. Representative Gene Wu of Houston said, by far the absolute worst session I've ever been part of. Some of this, as you'll hear from commentators, is that Republicans held onto their seats in 2020, and there are going to be political consequences, he said at a press conference Monday, referring to a $50 million push to retake the House from Democrats. But we just never expected them to go this far off the edge. Now, what is it that Republicans supposedly went far off the edge over? Well, if you read these stories and read these Democrats, standing for the right to life for innocent babies, protecting the Second Amendment and making sure it actually applies as it says, and stuff like that. I mean, that's it. I mean, that's the stuff. From abortion to guns. That's even how they put it in the headline at the Statesman. Here's how the GOP moved Texas further right. What's very interesting, though, if you go to the Texas Signal, which is one of these sites set up by that Obama machine in every state, to be, you know, news outlet and propaganda outlet for the activists that are in it. You get a very different picture. Here's their headline. 87th session ends with few victories for GOP, Texans. Well, yeah, they're going to say it's bad for Texans, but did you get this? It ends with few victories for Republicans, for the GOP. Said they just did terrible things. I love this. After giddily rubber stamping a diet version of the state budget. In other words, they're always angry when we don't spend a hell of a lot of money or extra money. We did spend a lot in the budget. Then they turn their attention to placating the base of Trump voters. I hate to remind them that these issues that we handled go back and have been major centers of Republican action in Texas to way, way, way back before Trump was ever on the political scene. The most egregiously far-right legislation to come out of Austin in recent memory was some of it. Permitless carry of handguns, banning critical race theory teachings in schools, to a prohibition on abortion just after 6 weeks of pregnancy. No, it's not 6 weeks. It's after they detect a fetal heartbeat. But you see how they play it. It's extreme and everything, but we really didn't get much done. Now, in the mainstream press, they're following the governor and the House leadership line that, wow, this was the most conservative session in history. It was not.
It was not. A lot of the mainstream things didn't even get handled, and some that did get handled got watered down. Now, there are other things to know about. The Center Square reporting that the Lone Star Infrastructure Protection Act heads to the governor for signature. This is SB 2116 by Donna Campbell. Senator Campbell bans all contracts or agreements in Texas with foreign-owned companies related to critical infrastructure. The bill unanimously passed both chambers. That's right. The governor will sign it. Critical infrastructure refers to the power grid, water treatment or chemical facilities, communication systems, or in cyber networks. The law prohibits everyone in Texas from entering into contracts with businesses or government officials from China, Iran, North Korea, Russia, or a country designated by the governor as a threat to critical infrastructure. This knocked off one of these big wind farms, by the way, it was going in, and that's a good bill. That's a good thing that got done. There is, I want to talk a lot more. Well, let me just give you, no, I can't do it. I'm going to hold that back. After a year of doctor visits on video, mixed results for telemedicine in the legislature. So they did pass a bill to expand for the low-income folks being paid by Medicaid and CHIP and state-provided coverage to continue the loosened rules, but they didn't make that for everybody. And some of this is good that they didn't, because what happened was the insurance people want the state to mandate equal payment for a telemedicine call as to one inside a doctor's office, which is insanity. The beauty of telemedicine, and I use it and have been using it for years, is that it's substantially less costly, because it is less costly for the physician and everybody involved. It's tremendously less costly. But what they want, so HB 4 passed, very measured, just with very basic stuff, did pass, but healthcare industry wanted payment parity. That didn't get, they want to be reimbursed at the same rate as in-person visits. I think that's pure highway robbery, and we didn't get anywhere on that, and that's probably good. Property tax disaster loophole was closed by the legislature, and that was led by Senator Betancourt and also by Dustin Burrows of Lubbock, after they were the two that led us to these new restrictions on, you know, local government spending. You remember what happened when we got the pandemic? They came out and said, well, that law, we can raise taxes up without a local, we can raise ad valorem property taxes, you know, up way above, without up to 8% without triggering an election. Screw that 3.5%, because it's got an exception for disasters. Well, so the legislature did indeed get passed the bills that changes the wording on what disasters are and removes epidemics and pandemics from that. And also, when a political subdivision utilizes the 8% disaster loophole increase through physical damage only, in other words, what the law intended by disaster, the voter approval rate, 3.5%, is to be calculated and published on the Truth in Taxation database. And so this was good. We did get that done. So that'll keep them from doing this again, where they come in there and claim that, well, it's a disaster, so the new protections for taxpayers don't apply. So that was good. Let's see. The bid to impose a special sales tax on electric vehicles failed for now, and even Democrats tend to be for that. A lot of Democrats are for this. The Statesman had a piece here while back on it. And it's they pointed out it failed for now, but probably not for long, because it will get passed, and it's right. Even that liberal, Tom Smitty Smith, that seems to be the executive director, or over the years has been, seems to be the executive director for all kind of leftist things. It used to be like public citizen or something, and now all of a sudden it says he's the ED of the Texas Electric Transportation Resource Alliance, a lobbying group, so he got more money over there, I guess. But he was opposed to it for the $200 annual fee for most electric cars. Now, some of you may have bought them, but remember, a major part of the 38.4 cent per gallon gas and state and federal gas tax collected when you fill up at the pump is used for road upkeep, because you're driving on them. Electric vehicles aren't paying any of that, and that's why you're going to end up paying extra, and you should, because that's what's paying for the roads, period. There was a good bill to strengthen the spending limits. It wasn't that great, but it was good. It was a good move by Senator Kelly Hancock. And SB 1336, the bill caps the growth of state spending at the rate of population plus inflation. Now, don't kid yourself, that's not as strong as the constitutional amendments we've pushed in the past with very specific rules as to how you measure those things, but this is good. It subjects all state funds, but not federal funds, to the growth limit, and it did make it out, and that is very, very good. And they passed a handful of election integrity bills. They just didn't get the big ones. We're going to fight that all over again in a special session. Again, the governor today saying he will call one for that issue. No telling what else he'll put on the call. And it probably, I just tell you, it's not going to be in the fall. It's going to be sometime before September 1, because that's his veto deal over the lawmakers and their staff salaries. He's going to need to get all this handled. If he goes ahead and vetoes the legislature's funding, he's got to get all that handled before the end of the fiscal year and let them readopt it before then, or else it's really a mess, because you got to come back and do redistricting, and how the hell are you going to defund all your... That would be all the committee staffers, everybody. And let me tell you, the redistricting requires a phalanx of experts. There wouldn't be any money to pay any of them. So a lot of this is, again, playing with the red meat. But, I mean, it's a good thing. We like to see that. A lot of other things going on, a lot in the border news section. But, nothing I've got to bring you today. We'll get back to the rest of it tomorrow. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.